So the next presentation, I'll go ahead and I guess started. I'm a co-author, it looks like. Greg Abendahl and I have been, the one I just presented is a deterministic viewpoint. Okay, there's no stochastic, no dynamic, and there is weather, but we have it treated as a very deterministic idea. And Greg's going to come up and add a layer of complexity, add a dynamic part of this, and sort of simulation, not only for weather, but for crop yields and so forth. And some of the weather issues, Greg's going to talk about hurricanes. Billy, what's the probability of a hurricane? Zero. It's small, right? But if you have one, it's traumatic, to yields and quality. So he's going to look at some stochastic properties for dynamic modeling of weather, yields, and that kind of thing. So, Greg.
That's true. Well, how many of you guys have ever read the John Grisham book, A Painted House? I get the same response I get from my class. How many of you guys have read John Grisham? He's my favorite author, by the way. Okay, good. Actually, John Grisham's non-lawyer books are my favorite ones. He's got that one and Playing for Pizza. Those are my two favorite books. But A Painted House is set in the 1950s, I think, or so, 40s. But it's kind of at the tail end of when they were still picking cotton by hand. And that's why cotton's been kind of unique to me, because there's been a lot of technological changes in the harvest of cotton over that time frame. I think the first cotton picker, and stop me if I'm wrong here, I'm kind of going from memory, but I think the first cotton picker was actually invented before World War II. But it took, 20, 30 years before everyone finally adopted a mechanical cotton picker. Now, you would have thought a mechanical cotton picker, man, farmers would have stamped it up just like that, right? But the adoption was really, really slow. When we made the next big leap in technology was basically when we went from adding to put modules on the end of the field. That was adopted much quicker. And the kind of the latest revolution with the onboard module stuff, that has been adopted even quicker than that. So, as new technology comes out, it seems like it's being snapped up quicker and quicker. Well, one of the consequences, though, of us adding more technology and getting better with how we pick cotton is, one, the machines have become a lot more expensive, right? I mean, you go buy a new Deere machine now, you're spending, close to $1 million? At least the list price on the Deere website says over $1 million. I'm sure you could hopefully get it maybe lower than that. But, still, when you're talking seven figures now for a machine, I think that makes a lot of farmers kind of sit up and take notices like, man, that's a lot of money I'm putting into a machine. The other issue then, too, is you're adding more weight. So now we're taking a big machine that's carrying, the Deere potentially can carry two modules at one time. So now we're running a lot of weight across the field. What's that going to do to compaction and even in the ability to get into the field? And obviously, if you're spending $1 million for a machine, you're thinking, okay, I need to get maximum use out of this machine as I can, right? So one of the projects Terry and I have been looking at with a wheat harvest in Kansas is, it doesn't rain much in western Kansas once you get past June, really. So, a lot of the summer is pretty dry. Why don't farmers really buy a smaller machine and then just harvest wheat all summer? So we're not seeing that. But there's a chance of hail occasionally in western Kansas. And that's some detriment to actually stretching a machine too far. Well, cotton producers kind of face that same issue because they're taking $1 million machine and they're saying, for me to lower my per cost acre on that machine, I need to run across as many acres as I can. Well, then we run the risk of, once those bowls are open out there exposed to the weather, only bad things are going to happen to the cotton bowl at that point. It's not going to get any better quality, and we're going to lose quality and quantity if we have a rain event or, a hurricane event or whatever else could happen here. So some incentive to get that out as quickly as possible. Well, and that brings us to our problem of looking at this robotic cotton harvester system of actually how do you go about calculating machinery costs and how do you factor weather into the decision. So if it was just a straight calculate the machinery cost, that's a pretty straightforward problem because I don't know whether ag engineers or ag economists kind of developed the formulas, but there's a set of formulas that the ag engineers have helped modify that actually can give us the repair cost per acre. It can calculate the ending salvage value. We can calculate the fuel use per year. And then based on some time value money concepts of looking at depreciation and then looking at the cost of holding that money over time, we can calculate fairly closely what it would actually cost us to have a machine per year, and then we can translate that back into a cost per acre or cost per pound. So that's a pretty straightforward calculation. And if you, in my class where I teach farm management stuff, Iowa State has some really good spreadsheets for calculating machinery costs. William Edwards, who's kind of, you know, one of the gurus of ag econ in the world, he has some really good spreadsheets. I use those. I mean, I don't know if you know, use reinventing the wheel again. So that stuff's available out there. But the trouble is that doesn't really account for the facts that we could be losing cotton during the course of the year. We need to introduce some dynamics, which was part of the issue of actually looking at this in a dynamic situation framework. So what I'm really doing is I'm calculating things two times. So I'm calculating one set of machinery costs based on the number of acres that we're running. Again, that's a fairly straightforward calculation. But the other side then is looking at quality and quantity losses that could occur from any kind of weather events, whether it be rain or from a hurricane here. So that was the second thing I modeled into this. I started from the assumption that basically if you had perfect weather conditions in that field and you didn't lose anything to any kind of rain event or anything, what would be the maximum yield per acre you could get? What would be the maximum price per pound? That was our baseline. And so, I mean, we're starting from that point. Anything else that was going to happen is actually going to lower either the quantity or the quality of that cotton during the course of the year. So whether we get a rain event, that may lower both the quality and the quantity. And as you stack more rain events together because you're getting delayed in your harvest, that's going to add more and more penalty to the weather side of things. So those are the two things I'm going to do that with. This really worked best to do this in a dynamic framework. So I'm using this program called Stella to do this. Dynamic software tools are all very similar. If you look at one, Stella, which is the one I happen to like because I use it for my PhD dissertation, but they're all very similar. They all model stocks, which is a way of holding something. In this case, I'm holding either cotton in the field. I'm also collecting the number of days it takes to harvest. As an economist, I need to keep track of the dollars. And then to keep track of how weather does things, I'm keeping track of rainfall too. So stocks can hold really anything. Typically, a dynamic software tool like this is used by the physical sciences as opposed to as economists like myself. I think I'm one of the few economists that's probably using Stella actually to model economic concepts. Typically, the documentation for this project always talks about it in terms of maybe counting the number of trees or the counting number of wolves out there, that kind of situation like that. And then they also represent control variables and results by circles. That's a pretty common thing. We have red lines that control information being passed back and forth. And then we can actually move stuff into and out of stock. So like for the rainfall days, I'm keeping track of the days it rains, and whenever it rains, I'm moving one day into the rainfall criteria. For the cotton, I'm basically moving cotton from the unopened boll stage to the open boll stage and then into harvested cotton here. So I got several set of stocks for that. As I just said here, I have several, keeping track of two things, the machinery cost and the weather losses. So there's quite a few variables that go into this. Some of the common variables that would apply to both the bot side and the deer side, I'm using the deer side kind of as my baseline, is we need an interest rate, the number of acres you're potentially going to try to harvest, the maximum cotton price, the yield. There's a boll opening CDF, so I'm assuming that the cotton in the field is going to open at some rate. The nice thing about using this dynamic tool Stella that I'm using is you can actually model some things as a graphical variable. So I don't really have to have a functional form to represent that boll opening. Basically, I can draw a line that says over these 60 days, my cotton is going to open at this rate, and you can kind of switch around any way you want to. So that's a big advantage. I don't really have to specify exactly beforehand what that looks like. I can have users go through and modify that on their own. Then I need to model the weather. So I'm using probably a simpler version of weather modeling than I'm sure any climate change scientist is actually using. I'm basically looking at, for a hurricane, I'm looking at the probability of having a hurricane during the year and then just dividing by the number of days to get actually a probability of a hurricane per day. And then if there is a hurricane, they're saying, well, okay, what kind of damage are we talking about here? Is it? I'm basically saying for the unopened bowls, there can be anywhere from like 50 to 100% loss in those kind of cases. And then the same thing with the rain. So having a probability of rain event per day, and then if it does rain, how much rain can we expect to get that? I'm using a graphical function to represent the amount of rain that you potentially could get per day. But that should be easy to come up with looking at historical numbers. And then we're also looking at yield lost if there is a rain event. And then we move to the variables that are probably unique to each specific system. They both are looking at the same kind of the same things, but there's a unique value for each case. So for the bots, we'll have a certain amount of lifespan. The deer system will have a certain lifespan. We have information about the cost. The number of machines that we're talking about, the field efficiency, the speed, the width, the daily breakdown probability, harvest hours per day, cost to operate per hour, and then things for like fuel price and engine horsepower and stuff like that. So for the deer system, not all that's pretty well established. We know a deer system is going to cost close to $1 million. We kind of know how many years it's going to last. There's repair factors established for cotton pickers already, which will give us in the salvage value. We know the horsepower of the deer machine, which I think they advertise 590 peak horsepower, which I'm not sure that's the average horsepower, but obviously a 590 horsepower machine is going to drink up a lot of fuel. But so there's engineering formulas that describe that as well here. So we can pretty much get all the costs for the deer machine right up front. The abatement stuff in my model, I'm leaving that open for the most part. So as they develop these machines, they can plug in different values and see how they compare and whether it's going to be competitive then to what the deer machine is showing. So like I said, the deer machine is pretty straightforward. So what happens is we have the bowl opening kind of following this distribution. When it gets to be a certain percent open, though, we're going to say we're going to come in and defoliate the field. And at that point, we're going to be able to send the deer harvester in. It's going to make a single pass across the field. And once we harvest that acre, we're done. So it's a pretty straightforward problem. That part of the model really works like if I would apply the same thing to like a wheat harvest machine model. It's pretty much the same set of equations here. So that's pretty straightforward. That wasn't the challenge. The bot system, though, was a bit of a challenge because, for one thing, we can harvest as soon as the cotton starts to open up and the bowls start to ripen. So what happens is as soon as those bowls open, we can start to send the harvester out. As it makes a pass through, there'll be more bowls opening behind it here. So harvesting will occur over a long period of time with many machines. And I said multiple passes are possible, but it's almost a given in the model here that this bot machine will probably make several passes across the field. And I keep track of that during my model, too, is actually how many times does a machine go across a given area here. My biggest assumption, though, and I got some looks from some of the ag engineers yesterday, that maybe this wasn't the best way for me to approach this, but I think it's a good first way to look at the problem is I'm basically assuming that once a bot goes through the machine, what you're really doing is you're lowering the overall density of ripe cotton in the field. You're not actually, you are taking cotton away from that section of the field, but I'm assuming with this way that I'm modeling this is that as a bot goes through, there's still the same amount of cotton behind it as there was in front of it here. What you really have done, though, is you've actually helped lower the overall density of the ripe cotton. I don't think that's really going to be a limitation if you have enough bots. So in the most theoretical sense, if you had enough bots on your farm where you could actually run a bot across all cotton acres in one day, then my assumption holds perfectly because every time you go through, the next day there's the exact same amount of cotton in the field. That becomes less and less of a reliable factor, though, the smaller number of your bots get. So if you got down to like only one bot, obviously that would not be a valid assumption at all. If we're talking in the range, hypothesizing right now, there could be 10 to 20 bots on a farm that would cover a typical deer machine. Then I think that assumption is probably going to be okay, though, although I'm not guaranteed about that. If I have to go around and do something else, it will probably mean dividing a farm up into sections where a section might be the amount of field, number of acres that a bot actually could do during a day, a model like that. But that's going to require a whole other level of complexity. So I'm going to see how my model works first and then go back and add that as I need to here. So one consequence of saying the density changes and it stays the same and only is reduced across the whole farm is that with the bot system, your whole farm is going to all be done on the same day, basically. So that last pass of the bots is all going to occur on the last day, and we're going to be done here. So that's another consequence of that particular system. I know you can't read this, but just to give you an idea of what the complexity of this machine model looks like is that there's a lot of things that go into this. It was kind of a fairly complicated process. Got a little more detail that hopefully you guys can read here. So the machines for both the bot and the deer system kind of start at this stage right here where it says potential cotton to harvest. This is cotton in the field that has not yet opened up into ripe bolls. It's still kind of green cotton out there. This represents your best case situation. So nothing bad has happened to the cotton yet. It's still maturing, hasn't opened up yet. But even at this stage, there could be a factor where we could lose some cotton, unopened cotton bolls, and that would occur basically from a hurricane event. I'm assuming at this point that rainfall will not affect your unopened cotton bolls, but hurricanes could. So that's what I have going on here. I have a probability of hurricane. If one does occur, what percent is lost? And that's going to move, that is going to move cotton from the ready to be harvested potentially into something that's going to be a loss category. In this case, it's going to be loss of unopened cotton bolls. I'm keeping track of that to keep track of our weather losses here, which is what I'm showing right here. The next thing that has happened here is, okay, once these bolls start to open, it's defined by this boll opening CDF. It's going to move cotton from unopened to open bolls. At this point, the cotton is not picked yet. And again, two things can happen. We can have a weather event like we had happen before, where now both rainfall and a hurricane can lower our amount of open cotton bolls that could be harvested. And that goes into a second loss category that you see right here. But the other thing that can happen then too is once those cotton bolls are open and ready to be harvested, we can start moving the bots through, and it will start to pick some of that cotton here. So as we pick cotton in, this will go down lower and move into the pick cotton side of things, which is what we want. Keeping track of rainfall. So I'm keeping track of rainfall to kind of match up with one of my master's students, what they did. So I'm keeping track of the last 2 weeks of rainfall on the farm. And my master's student, who I had when I was at Mississippi State, he developed this formula that looked at how many field days do we have available based on what's been happening during the last 2 weeks of rainfall. It's a combination of both the number of consecutive days of rainfall and also how much rainfall we've had in total here. So he had a regression formula that determined that. And then that will determine how many field days we could have during that week. And then I have a Monte Carlo function that says, okay, I determined that there could be six field days, working days during the week here. What's the actual chance that we actually do have a working day or not here? So that's what this formula here is saying. If we don't have a working field day, basically your machine sits idle while your cotton is, you know, obviously exposed to more weather risk here. But it says that we can work, then we go ahead and run our machines to the field. Then I'm keeping track here of the machinery side of things here. So I'm keeping track of the number of bots and such. A key aspect of the bot harvesting system is what is our actual density of open cotton bolls in the field here. So that determines what your density is, and based on the speed of your harvesting bot, it really determines how much cotton you're actually harvesting here. So this is a very key variable right here, is actually what is your density of ripe cotton. And then we're keeping track of the number of days and how many acres we picked, and then we kind of have our standard engineering formulas over here to keep track of the machinery cost. And then here's the end results that I'm kind of getting right now. Again, this is kind of preliminary, but this is the kind of thing that I'm aiming for. So we know what the machine cost is per acre. Then we have quality and quantity losses per acre. And then again, we get a total cost here. So I'm doing it on a per acre basis, also on a per pound basis. And then I have the same thing for the deer machine, although I'm not quite sure the deer machine is quite running quite correctly at the moment here. But just looking at what the numbers for the machine cost, I think I'm not too far off, because I was getting about 9 cents a pound to run the deer machine. I looked at the custom rates for Texas, and they were showing about 12 cents. So we add a little bit of profit to what the ag engineering formulas would calculate. That's probably in the ballpark anyway. So I think I'm on the right track as far as calculating machine cost. A lot of these weather things, I just put real high values in for the probability of rain just to see what the rainfall events would do. So these are probably being overestimated right at the moment. So what I kind of want to show you, though, and I'm hoping it works, there is an online version of this that shows the bot side of this system only. So this should be a live link, unlike Terry's Shiny app, which has a limitation number of hours on it, right, which is what? You don't have too many hours in your thing, right, 25 or something?
Right now, we're putting on a dedicated server, so it'll be unlimited.
Okay.
I'm just there on the development site, which has 25 hours a month.
Really. Okay. Well, my thing has a similar free server thing, but so far I haven't seen anything about any kind of limit. So I don't think I have any restrictions on anybody running this. Yeah, we'll see. And I'm hoping it shows up better than it did yesterday. The fonts are all messed up. Well, it shows a little better, I think, here. So this is kind of, I told everybody, this is kind of similar to, for you guys who have used HyperCard or an Apple in the way distant past, probably know you guys are old enough to know about that, but HyperCard was kind of a card-based system. We can click on links, it takes you to a different card. This is the way this kind of thing here works too. Here, the one thing I forgot to show yesterday was the story system of this, and I think I'm going to use this on the documentation side. So right now I have a story of loss of the unopened bowls, which was in the hurricane, and the opening of the cotton bowls. If you click on one of these story things, it will tell you how the model is developed here. And you can click on the different aspects of the model here, and it has some documentation about what this particular thing represents here. So I can add some more stuff to it, actually explain how to use it here. And then as you go through, it adds more stuff to the story here. So here was our initial thing on story, the first page of the story. Now I have a story about these other variables in the model, and you can see what they are. They'll pop up as you click on them too, just to tell you what they are and how you would use them here. So eventually I will be able to document this whole thing, and the user could just download off the web, and hopefully they could work their way through without too much trouble. And then you could also run certain sections of the model here. The one thing I noticed is changes you make in the other part of the model don't show up here. So if I run just this with the hurricane side, it will show, well, in this particular year we had two hurricanes occur. You can run it again. You probably won't get any show up. So it works kind of like that. And then we can go back to our home page, and there's also a story then for the opening of the cotton bowls, which kind of works kind of as the same deal here. It'll tell you different parts of the model as you go through here. And again, you can click on things and see what they are, and it'll tell you a little story about it. And you can run, see what the bowl opening CDF looks like here. So that's how our cotton bowls are opening. I can't even read what that is there, but we're showing two things. This is basically the bowls opening, and I think maybe the bowls being picked as well here. But the main thing you guys are probably interested in is how does the model actually work. So we can go here and go back to our home page, and we can go to the input side. And this particular page will allow you to change all the variables that affect the bot side of the model. Again, I don't have the deer side on this particular thing. So like for the bowl opening CDF, even though it looks like a graph, you can actually change this graph. You can click on this, bring this up, and then you can actually redefine this function. It's kind of hard to do with this with the mouse and the trackpad, but you can redefine your function like that. And now your bowl opening is a little bit quicker here before you get to 100%. Again, this is over 60 days. So anyway, any user can change that to fit their particular area. Things like the number of bots, you can change that by basically kind of dragging this wheel out further and get more bots like that. And then once you got all the variables the way you think they are, then you can go ahead and go to the output page and click on run, and it will show you these variables kind of in real time actually how they operate. So over here we're looking at the unpicked open bowls. Look like we got most of them harvested. Some of these I can't hardly even read, a little small here. But anyway, you can kind of see how these various things look at it. It will tell you kind of the cost situation here. It will tell you how many field days you had available per week as you go across time. And then the nice thing, too, this also calculates then how many trips your bot made across the field here. So these are just some of the variables. I think there's probably a few more things I could add as well here. So hopefully you can see how this would actually help you give you an idea of what the cost would look like. And then eventually I have a page that will actually compare the bot system with the deer system with the idea that engineers, as they look at this, they can design their models saying, okay, here's what the costs are, here's what my speed is. You know, I need to change this so it's actually competitive here. So you can do a lot of what-if type scenarios to actually kind of get us where we need to be. Because I don't think farmers are really going to switch until they can see some cost advantages to like a bot system. So anyway, that's what I have. What kind of questions might you guys have? Yes. I'm just on the verge of being able to answer that really right now here. Really, a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, what your field efficiencies are, what kind of speed you can run. I'm assuming, based on what you guys had told me earlier, that as you go through the field and pick cotton, that the density is not going to slow down your machine. But, you know, just in the first draft, it looks like that is a little bit here. So things like that are going to affect it too here. But, I mean, basically, you tell me how fast it's going to go and how quickly you can pick, then I think I can probably tell you what the machine needs to be.
So when we ran some those numbers, and for instance, like the Glen Rains, his system here stays so slow that it had to be really, really, it's just not feasible to compare that to, you know, if you had thousands of them. What numbers did we come up with?
What's that?
Well, I guess one question is, what's the ratio? You know, if they're going to be smaller machines, and we'll have modulars. So the idea is, a wagon. We'll just say wagons of bots. So this one wagon has a dozen bots in it. So a farm may need one wagon, or they may need 100 wagons, depends on how big the farm is. But the nice thing is they can be a small cotton farm. You don't have to have 2,000 or 3,000 acres to support production here.
Well, yeah, and one of the big advantages with the bot system is because you can get the bot out there quicker and also more days because it doesn't weigh as much, too, with more field days, that's, I think, going to be a big factor in determining, you know, what's our price cutoff going to be, whether we want to go to a bot or not. I think that those advantages are going to maybe outweigh some of the maybe extra costs that might be associated with a bot system potentially.
If you're going to put a number on it, what would be the...
Well, I mean, in my example here, I ran this, so...
You got the
I can't even read it.
I can't read it either. That's why I was asking you what it was.
Yeah, okay. So this had a machine cost of 4 cents a pound. I was saying that my deer system weighs 8 cents a pound. So right now this is competitive, but what I have in here for cost.
And this is only, they're only harvesting. They're not weed controlled. They're not doing any other activities.
Yeah, and this is not even counting the weather advantages that you would probably have.
We're expecting them to do other activities, not just harvest. So they get the cost per acre annual down even further.
Yeah, I think what I have in here, about 15 bots. It was going to pick everything like 4.4 times. And I can't even remember what I had in here for a cost number. I can't. Part of it is I can't hardly read the numbers. It's kind of small.
Yeah, birthday this week and his eyes are going.
That's right. I need bigger monitors.
Can you give us any kind of guesstimate on acres per hour?
That's going to be an engineering determination of what they think their machines can run here. So my model is actually able to incorporate that as a thing a user can change here. So once the ag engineers say, oh, right now I'm only doing a half mile per hour, you know, here's what the cost numbers look like. As I can speed that up, here's what it does to my cost advantage. So that's actually one of the things we're actually allowing users to change, the engineers to change, is to input that variable on their own here. So
for Arkansas, if you start harvesting 3 weeks before traditional harvest date to start, you add that time. We calculated Arkansas, Mississippi, the Delta area. It could be 3.5 times slower on acres per hour and still be done harvesting on the same date. So you can be much slower than a typical picker. At the same time, I mean, we could change some parameters and completely throw that off too. But that's what we arrived at. What I presented at Ag Engineering and Conference ASBE this summer was that comparison.
You know, being online, I think it should be easy for anybody who's kind of working in this area to kind of look at, okay, here's what I think I can do a machine for. How's that going to compare and go from there here. So the fact that it is on a like kind of an open website type space like this, it should be pretty easy for people to play what-if games with all the cost.
So one of the things that does not exist today that will need to be developed in the future is power source. Currently, we don't think it's going to be fossil fuel power. It probably would be electric, but batteries today are not going to be sufficient for these things to be what we think they should be doing. That's an engineering question, but that's probably the biggest limitation physically today is just power.
Oh, and one other thing I'm going to add yet too is, so Ed has been telling us that there's been some interest among farmers for going back to the old module building system just because they're so much cheaper. So I'm going to add a module building system here. So at nothing else, at least you can do some comparisons with the deer machine, the onboard module versus a module system on the end of the field, and kind of see how those kind of compare for cost to see maybe it's not worth it to buy a new deer round thing. Maybe it's worth it to go scounge the used market and find the old module building stuff and go that way. Might be maybe a lot cheaper. So
Larry Faulkner built that spreadsheet a few years ago. So I'm Mississippi State at the time, and it's on kind of corporate website. The model I demonstrated, the live model, will replicate what Larry did with.
Yeah, Larry's model didn't have any kind of dynamics for weather, and it did. So this will incorporate weather, so I think you'll be able to get a better handle for how weather might affect those kind of decisions.
Speaking of weather, instead of looking at the probability of a hurricane event, have you tried looking at the probability associated with the severity of the snow?
Ew. I think you're moving way beyond where I want to get into for weather stuff, actually. I mean, weather thing, that I can make my whole career modeling weather stuff, and people obviously do that. So that's more
climate change.
Yeah, that's not going to climate change. So we're that's moving into the areas I don't really want to get that far into the weather side, really. I think I'd be more interested more on the rainfall side than actually the hurricane side.
I worked on that several years ago. I think I presented that here maybe 7-8 years ago on the correlation between changes in day suitable to El Nino, La Nina effect. And the thing I looked at, well, found out that I didn't think it was that correlated, but if there was anything, different parts of the Cotton Belt had different responses, right? So the Mid-South responds differently than Florida. But I think it's a little strong connection now.
Good question. Do we know that?
This is my vision. I would like to see a gin locally. So you got this set of wagons we're talking about, and we have these spots inside of them. It's a mothership, right? And what can the mothership do? Can it actually do the ginning? So the seed goes one direction and the land goes another direction right out of the field. In the field.
You're parking that at the end of the
Don't tell the ginners I said that.
Yeah, but you're parking this hypothetical wagon at the end of the road and the bots are going out down the road, right?
That's yes.
You're envisioning.
Well, we may not have roads. Yeah, think about it as orchards. You have individual plants on a grid, and so instead of having to go down a row, they can just go in omnidirectional. So the nice thing about this, given carte blanche, is we can kind of rethink the whole production system. We don't have anything that says the old system is going to exist. We may not have roads. You think, take it a step further, vertical farming. We may have cotton plants hanging upside down, and how would that allow us to view it differently?
It's almost like the Roomba, the way a Roomba maps out a room. You almost think that the bot could almost do something like that, but didn't have to follow the row like that.
Well, if it's on a grid, you'd have the precise GPS location, Cartesian coordinates, and it knows where every plant is.
You basically are reinventing the wheel, but I'm not sure it's a good idea.
We're actually moving back toward the old technology of picking by hand, because the bot system almost mirrors that to some degree. So you can get better quality cotton, you can make multiple trips. I think there's a lot of potential advantages to it. Any other questions, comments? I'd be interested if any of you guys had any suggestions about how to model that whole fact that the bot's going through the field more than once, the difference in the way I'm doing it. I'd be interested if you talk to me later or send me an email or something like that.